Hello, my friend. We are here with another episode of Readings and Reflections with Sly Flourish. Today's article is Every Role Doesn't Need a Mechanical Outcome. This article was published on 27 April, 2026. Not every role needs a mechanical outcome. Sometimes a successful or unsuccessful role can, instead, result in a fictional outcome without a mechanical component. As GMs, we're drawn to the mechanical outcomes of the roles players make in the game. There needs to be a consequence for a role, good or bad, and that consequence needs to matter. Mechanical outcomes feel like they matter. Let's look at overland exploration and travel. A lot of RPGs have some form of overland exploration and travel systems. The characters take on roles like Pathfinder, Scout, Quartermaster, Leader, and potentially others. When the characters travel, you have your players roll checks to see how well they do. If they roll well, they succeed at their job, traveling without being detected, finding potential dangers along the journey, following the right path, and not getting dehydrated along the way. If they fail, we're drawn to include some sort of mechanical detriment. Maybe they suffer a level of exhaustion. Maybe they can't rest. Maybe they get some form of toe fungus that affects their movement speed. Sometimes, though, we can just describe what happens based on the role, good or bad. If they do a good job, we describe what went well. If they do a bad job, we describe what went poorly. It doesn't need a mechanical result. We're telling stories in our RPGs, not just doing math and filling out simulated income tax forms. The story matters. Players feel it when their characters fail, even if they don't get a -2 to their attack rolls. The idea of story-focused results on rolls goes beyond travel scenes as well. Maybe you have a character who wants to climb to an upper story window. It's not the most superheroic activity, but it can be challenging. So you ask the player for a roll. Typically, you'd say if they fail that they crash to the bottom and don't make it up. That just steals their action, though. They can likely try again the next round, but is that really interesting? How about instead using the results of the roll to determine how well they make it up there? On a high roll, they hop right up and smash through the window like an action star. On the low roll, they scramble up, kicking at the tiles and pinching their pinky in the window jam. But they still make it up either way. There's a concept in RPGs called failing forward, in which, whether a character succeeds or fails at a task, the story still moves forward. Focusing less on the mechanical outcome of a successful or failed check, and more on the outcome of the story, gives you ample opportunities to fail forward. A thief might have trouble picking a lock after their player rolled a failed check, but they still get it open. It just took longer, and some noise might have put some nearby guards on notice. One way to think about whether it's worth tying a mechanic to a role is whether it's actually fun for a player. Using roles, particularly bad roles, to flavor the story is often more fun for players than just applying a mechanical punishment for their bad luck. This feeling is especially true if it takes away from a character's ability to do something. Not being able to climb up a window isn't particularly interesting or fun. Succeeding, but not with a lot of grace, is funny and doesn't take away their agency. Use the dice to change up the story as it unfolds at the table, and let go of the need to continually tie mechanics to every role the players make. So I thought this was a fun one, and I don't know that I totally nailed exactly my intentions here. I'm not sure that the examples are exactly the right examples, but I think the mechanical outcomes of successes or fails on exploration, for example, is a good one. Where I've seen it, there are games where, and like Level Up Advanced 5e's Trials and Treasure book has sort of like what happens when you succeed or fail at the various checks that you make when you take on one of the various roles that you might take on while you're exploring. And in some cases, it's a story-based effect, like you get jumped by bad guys instead of you managing to sneak up on bad guys. That's a very common one for scouting, right? If your scout fails, you might stumble into something that otherwise you might have been able to discover from some distance away. That is a story-focused one. It's not really a mechanical outcome either way. But quartermastering, which is like, you know, are you keeping track of food? Is everybody hydrated? Are all the food preservations good? You know, that one's a little different. And I think there's a common thing of like, well, if you succeed, what do you get? Do you get, you know, the equivalent of a bless? Like what's the benefit for succeeding on a quartermaster check? And what happens when you fail it? You know, does everybody get exhaustion? Do you give them some disease? Do you give them some penalty to their mechanics? And my argument is you really don't have to do either. I actually ran a game last night and my Dragonbane game, and the characters were traveling, and I had somebody as quartermaster, and in this case, somebody rolled a check as quartermaster. They had a boon, which is kind of like 5e advantage, when they rolled it, and they failed with their first check, but they succeeded with the second. And we kind of took that as like when, you know, one of the other characters was getting ready to eat something that he shouldn't have eaten, and the quartermaster, who's aware of like, hey, don't eat that, and he rushed forward, and the guy who was going to eat it quickly stuffed it into his mouth because he didn't want to be stopped from eating this delicious smoking berry that he found. And then the other quartermaster had to kind of like pin him down and fish it out of his mouth. Like, drop it. Right. As he was like picking out his mouth, like a dog who picks something up on the walk. And we all got a good laugh out of that. And guess what? You don't need any mechanics for that. It was just a fun story. And in that case, it was like he succeeded on the roll, but because he failed with one check and succeeded with another on a roll with a boon, we changed the story a bit. Like what did the fail look like? And what did the success look like? Even though they're the same roll, right? And there is no mechanical effect. There is no detriment. You know, we got to kind of share this little fun story about what happened on the journey. And I'm a big believer that all of the stuff that we've got on the mechanical front is really there to help us tell interesting stories, right? That, I mean, there's more to it than that. There's a crunchiness to a lot of the RPGs that we play, and sometimes the crunch is what we're excited about. But also, even when we're talking about a lot of the crunchy bits, when somebody hits somebody and does a little damage is different than when they hit somebody and do a lot of damage. And that's really in the story. So, and this is something that has changed for me over the years, right? This is not how I played third edition. I don't think I really got into this until the end of fourth edition and playing some other games like 13th Age and Dungeon World and Numenera and some other games that had sort of a more story focused approach than 4E did. And then I felt like 5E definitely leaned more into the story focused approach than I was used to with fourth edition. Certainly fourth edition very much felt like a combat, you know, not a board game. I mean, if you get a criticism as board game, but I tell you, like, I ran a lot of 4E, right? I wrote a lot of 4E. The reason why Sly Flourish is called Sly Flourish is because it's named after a 4E power. So you can't say, well, Mike didn't like 4E, he's just a hater, because I ran the hell out of it. I ran the 30th level game. I ran multiple 4E campaigns. But it really was a bunch of heavy combat encounters, in my opinion and in my experience, strung together by little tiny bits of story. And the focus was a lot more on like how encounters were built and what happened there. And I remember, I think I mentioned this on a previous Readings and Reflections, where one of the things that kind of shook me out of that was an interview that I did with Chris Sims, who had worked on 4E and had worked on, I think he did a little work on 5E, and now he's done a work on a bunch of other RPGs too. And he was like, you know, when you're building an encounter, you should build an encounter from the story first and then bring in the other components that fit that story. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what does that even mean? I don't even know what you're talking about. And now I'm like, you know, 10, 12, 13 years into that style of play where I'm very big on the story and I want like mechanics that are super lightweight for me on the GM side so that I can share that story. I don't need to have like heavy mechanics for monsters and heavy mechanics for environments and everything like that. I just want to like have tools that I can drop in that can kind of offer some mechanical simulation to these events that happen in the story. That's really interesting to me. But also it means that I can really use the results of roles and the results of different circumstances to just kind of use that to riff on the story and the direction that it goes. So not every role, you know, I think that the thing I'm really trying to get to is that not every role needs a mechanic, and that you might be drawn to like, well, everything has to have an outcome. Everything has to have like a measurable statistical outcome for the character, whether it's like dropping a new status effect on them or doing some damage to them or doing anything else like that. And really, I think we can use the roles that are occurring during the game not to always inflict mechanical effects on the characters one way or the other, either benefits or disadvantages, but really just to let us all kind of riff on the story and where the story goes. And I'm not saying all the time. Obviously, there are times where mechanical outcomes definitely have an effect on the story and where roles are going to have a definite effect on mechanical outcomes. A hit is a hit, right? You're attacking and you get a hit. And you can, you know, describe many times, even an exploration, like if there is something where it makes sense that the characters would suffer some kind of mechanical disadvantage because the quartermaster blew that check, that's totally fine. All I'm saying is you don't always need to have that, right? That sometimes you can just let the role be the part of the story that we're sharing with our players, and the mechanics are not that interesting. And what I've found is that players don't mind that either. Like players are happy to, you know, and they're interested. Not that they're not happy as in like, oh, thank God I didn't have a mechanical effect. They definitely feel, if you describe how they twinge their back when they're lifting up the big portcullis and that there's like a, you know, hot, like a hot poker goes from their, you know, left hip to their left shoulder blade. Anybody over the age of 40 is going to go, oh God. Right. And you don't have to be like, yeah, now you're minus one on your, you know, strength saving throws. You could just say like that, you get that, like, oh, don't, that's, you know, you're hitting my X card, right? Cause of the back pain. So there's, you know, that, that's part of like what we're talking about too, is it that sort of focusing on the role, on the narration of the game can have as big an effect on the players and draw them into the story more than when you're just inflicting mechanical effects. My friend, I hope you enjoyed our chat today. As always, thank you so much for your outstanding support. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you every Thursday, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye-bye.